Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we pick up our account in the book of Acts, Paul is being held prisoner in Caesarea. This all started after Paul arrived in Jerusalem, eager to share the word with the brothers, the fellow Jews, but it wasn't not 7 days before the city was in an uproar upon his arrival. A crowd took hold of him, intending to kill him, but the Roman commander got word and rushed down and with some soldiers and then put him in protective custody. There was a group of 40 Jewish men then that took the solemn oath, if you remember from last week's text, that they were neither going to eat nor drink until the Apostle Paul was killed. So the Roman commander sent Paul to the Roman governor of Caesarea. Paul was held there for 2 years until a different Roman governor was in place. When Paul realized, finally, that there's going to be no justice where he's at, he appealed up to Caesar. And as a Roman citizen, if you remember, he had the right to do so. So the governor Felix replied, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go." So Paul then was put in charge of a Roman commander, a centurion, if you will, who was responsible to get Paul to Rome. So they set sail from Caesarea, but they sailed along the shoreline. And along the way, they encountered a storm, and it was so severe that they became shipwrecked at the end of chapter 27. They actually ran the shore to the beach. So let me say, we're all going to have storms in life, are we not? Things that totally don't make sense that come upon us in this journey of life. When life brings unimaginable or maybe even unexpected tragedy or changes, and those kinds of things change everything. Storms of life may come in many and various forms as well, right? There can be the tragedy in your health, a financial disaster, a marriage on the rocks, someone close to you dies and you have to cope with the loss. There are those times where we might play a part in those storms entering our lives. Just kind of like the Roman soldier and the ship captain, they ignored Paul's advice and they sailed out of the bay anyway. Times where we are creating this perfect condition within our own lives for storms to come in. Times when we may not have carefully practiced good stewardship to prepare for the days ahead. Or maybe we bring in clouds of anger into our relationships and we see those storms building. Times we don't care for our bodies as the temple of the Lord and we see the repercussions thunder down, if you will. So what waves are rocking your boat today, dear friends? The storms of life that seem to have darkened everything around you maybe seem to be maybe in complete control in the current of your life. Are there storms that seem to have hung around so long that even your "this too shall pass" attitude has also passed, but the storm remains? But you can go through terrible storms. You can go through even shipwrecks in your life without having your faith shipwrecked. Someone once said this, "Faith that cannot be tested is faith that cannot be trusted." And Acts chapter 27 is about having a faith that grows stronger through storms and through shipwrecks as they come about in our lives, because there'll be many storms. It seems as though the older a person gets, you know, I'm 60 now, so I'm getting old. But the older a person seems to get, the more they understand this to be true, that many storms come into our lives because they've experienced, or shall I say, we've experienced many storms. And I always remember Jesus saying this, coming up on the screen, "In this world you will have many troubles, but take courage, I have overcome the world." And the Lord had made it known that Paul was going to be a witness to the cause of the gospel in Rome. Therefore, Paul was perfectly in the center of God's will, if you will. Yet here, he was going through this storm and then even a shipwreck in his life. And it's very tempting for us, dear friends, to think that if we're fulfilling God's purpose in our lives, that God's always going to make the way smooth before us. And there are certainly times when the gentle breezes are blowing and the sun is shining on our shoulders, and no doubt it makes us happy. Some people suggest, though, that if you're going through troubles or storms or shipwrecks in your life, there's something wrong with your faith. But let me add this and hear this clearly, please. I don't see any scripture in the Bible that support that at all. And then, of course, I think of the Apostle Paul as well. A couple weeks ago, we read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 27, where Paul tells us of his sufferings, his storms, his shipwrecks, specifically that he was at danger at sea, shipwrecked three times, spent a night and a day in the open sea. Dear friends, contrary winds, storms, shipwrecks, suffering, temptations, tough decisions to do what's right, all of these things strengthen faith because it makes us cling to the Lord more dearly, more deeply, more greatly. Consider it all joy, my people, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And it makes me think of some of the greatest people of faith in the Bible and how they suffered the most difficult storms in their lives. And it appears in the Bible anyway that those with the greatest calling put upon their life endure some of the greatest storms. Joseph, the son of Jacob, he endured one tragedy after another, but God prepared him for what was ahead. David, he was anointed to become the future king of Israel and endured many, many, many difficulties. There's Esther, who faced the king on behalf of her people. There's Jeremiah, there's Ruth, there's Mary, there's Ezekiel, there's Daniel, and the list could go on. I even think of the disciples that were with Jesus. They went through many storms, and they went through many storms because they needed the strength in their faith, and Jesus was preparing them for God's purpose in their lives. Matthew chapter 14 on the screen. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And please notice that he only came to them after they were battered by the waves. They were facing the contrary wind into the fourth watch of the night. And then today in our Acts chapter 27 reading, we're reminded that even though the ship went down in Paul's case, God kept all of his promises. Every one of them, he kept them to Paul and he kept them to the other sailors on board because he said that none of them would die. He'd keep them all safe. And we see that in Acts chapter 27, verse 44. Everyone on the boat reached the land safely. And why is that? That's because God will never go back on his promises, ever. We are assured today that God gives us hope in the midst of storms and in the midst of shipwrecks with courage in his promises in order that we stay on the boat to our destination. God didn't promise smooth sailing, but he did promise safe passage. Jesus said, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all." And Paul was told that he would stand before Caesar in Rome. And he had all the confidence of faith that God would be true to his word. Timothy chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, Paul wrote this, "The Lord stood with me, Paul. The Lord stood with me. The Lord strengthened me. He was rescued out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. He will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom." These are the lessons God uses in our lives to strengthen our faith so that we can endure every storm and shipwreck. So in the storms of life, we need to have an anchor for our soul. As I was thinking about boats and ships specifically, there's several kinds of anchors that are used on ships at sea. A sea anchor is an anchor used to slow the ship in a storm. It keeps the ship stable. The sea anchor doesn't touch the bottom of the ocean floor. It operates like an underwater sail. Because some storms you have to just ride out. You can't avoid them. You can't get away from them, but you need to stay steady. This is where, dear friends, we need the truth of God's word written in our hearts, so they are there, right, to guard our heart and our mind. I think of Philippians chapter 4 on the screen. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then also there's bow anchors as well on a ship. Four of them generally. And these anchors go to the rocks or to the bottom of the ocean, and they hold the ship securely, like God is our rock. And we take hold of the hope that He sets before us. On the screen, you see, it seems that our theological mindset tends to ask why God allows suffering more than how He uses it. Storms and shipwrecks, as far as I can tell, as I grow older, change our priorities. And storms and shipwrecks, they change our perspective. The things that used to be important seem no longer important, and you begin to see things differently as you travel through storms and shipwrecks in your life. When you've been through enough storms in your life, then your perspective, as it changes, begins to become permanent. And you begin to realize the important things in your life, and the important things in your life are relationships, right? Relationships with the Lord, relationships in your faith life, your family life, your friend life, your church life. Relationships are something that you and I can take with us and hold on forever. Stuff in this world begins to matter less and less on the screen. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the greatest treasure, I'm saying, that you and I have are our relationships. Our relationship with God and our relationship with those around us that God has given us to love and also to be loved by. So I made some quick observations here that are going to, you can see on the screen here from Acts 27. And how God uses storms and how God used this specific storm for Paul. I got a list full of things coming up here, so hang on, I'm going fast. But these are just some quick observations about storms in our lives. Storms come to everyone eventually. Often we don't know why storms come. Storms often last longer than we'd like. We're not necessarily out of God's will when caught in a storm. God works through storms to accomplish His purposes. Storms give us opportunities to serve and witness. Storms call us to get rid of excess baggage. God loves to bring true hope when we are totally hopeless. What appears to be the easy way may end in disaster. Calm seas can fool us into believing storms will not come. Sometimes God calms the storm around us. Other times He calms the storm within us. But He always makes a way. Stay connected to others and don't jump ship. Majority opinion is not always right. Difficult and dark times can slow us down, but God is always at work. Storms reveal what's inside us. Our response to a storm can lead to damaging bitterness or to deeper belief. Storms help us settle who we belong to and who we worship. Storms reposition us to live out God's purposes. When going through a storm, make sure Jesus is the captain of your ship. So is Jesus the captain of your ship? Is He the captain of your soul? It's certainly understandable to become discouraged when the storm seems to have no end. In Acts chapter 27, for Paul and the others on that ship, the storm went on for 2 weeks. Imagine how worn down that they would be from being seasick and not eating for 2 weeks and fighting the storms that are raging on day and night, every hour, thinking about just how seasick they must have been, makes me queasy. You know, you and I, we confess, we proclaim that God is our strength of our heart, strength of our of our mind, strength of our soul. He is our every portion. Yes, Jesus is the captain of our soul. We commend that. We speak that. But yet we get discouraged. We get worn out. We doubt. We get queasy when we're fighting the storms in our lives. So let me encourage you today, just like Paul encouraged those sailors so long ago. Every time we fail to trust in the Lord's promise to grant us safe passage, He sent His Son Jesus to live perfectly on our behalf, to die on the cross on our behalf. This destructive storm of God's almighty justice was waged down and assaulted on Christ on the cross. And there it was perfectly satisfied. Every blow of God's storm of judgment was laid on Christ, paid in full. We know our mighty fortress. We know our sure foundation. We know our eternal refuge is found in the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. And we run to those arms as you are today, gathering here in the house of worship to receive His grace, His forgiveness, and to gather around the means of grace, His word and sacrament. With the guarantee of Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we are assured that our final destination will find us in His eternal kingdom in heaven. In the storms of life, make sure you have an anchor for your soul. The writers of Hebrews says this: we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And in this reading from Acts chapter 27, verses 22 to 26, I'm going to share six anchors with you that we can hang on to. I'm going to go quick, okay? And then in the Bible study during the atrium, we'll unpack these six anchors a little bit more. But here we go. Here's six anchors of hope that we can hang on to in the times of storms. The first one, you can see, God's promise. I get this from verse 22 of our text. It read, "Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, only of the ship," the angel told Paul. You can count on the promises of God. The second one is God's presence is an anchor. Paul felt alone in verse 23 then of our text. "For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship." The next anchor is God's peace. We can hang on to that because God is with us. He'll never leave us. He fills us with peace. According to verse 24, "And He said, do not be afraid, Paul." God's next anchor that we can hang on to is God's plan. God's plan. It was God's plan for Paul all along to go and preach to the emperor in Rome. We see this in the middle section of verse 24. It simply says, "You must stand before Caesar." God's plan is an anchor. The next one is God's protection is an anchor we can hang on to. It's spelled out in verse 24 of Acts 27. "And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you." And then at the end, in verse 44, it says they all arrive safe on shore. God's protection is an anchor you can hang on to. And finally, God's providence is the final anchor you can hang on to. God loves to work His way and His will according to His sweet providence, does He not? Makes me think of verse 25 and 26. "So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I've been told, but we must run aground on some island." In the storms of life, take heart, have faith in God. We have His word on it. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. Most of us think an anchor goes down to the bottom of the ocean, but dear friends, you and I, we have an anchor that goes up to heaven. Our anchor, as it says here in Hebrews, is anchored in the Holy of Holies in heaven. It's there behind the curtain. It's in the very presence of God Himself. And Jesus, He leads us home to heaven. He went before us into heaven and then became the anchor for our soul. And we are connected to Jesus Christ in heaven. So we're as safe as Jesus is safe. That's why our hope is called firm in Hebrews chapter 6. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So the word firm here means never failing. Jesus, our anchor for our soul, is never failing. It will never fail. Our anchor will never slip. It'll never lose its grip. Our anchor will never give way. It's firm. It's secure. And as we look at the many times that God fulfills His promises in His Word, you and I are reminded that although the storms may come in our life and the waves may fluctuate and a shipwreck may occur, God's promises stand firm. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. On the screen, our anchor holds because it rests on Jesus in heaven. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, who is the anchor of our soul, who is in heaven.